This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Temptations, remember them? That was always a big song at weddings, Ed. I remember people would get up and dance to that. They'd dance in groups and everything like that. I wonder if they still do that. Probably.
It's a great father-daughter dance.
Yes, exactly right. Ah, the good old days. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my dancing partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, July 13th. Holy Toledo, this month is flying by. In a few minutes, Jessica Malugan is going to join us. She is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about how President Biden's executive order, one of many, by the way, but this one on business competition, how it may affect technology and the internet. Is it good, his executive order on that? We'll talk with Jessica about all of that in a few minutes. And why are Texas Democrats, I should say the Democratic legislators in Texas, why are they fleeing the Lone Star State for Washington, D.C.? Would you do that? Well, we're going to get some thoughts about that. What's going on there? And other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi. We're going to wash out his mouth with soap, by the way. For those of you that heard him yesterday. And by the way, why has communism survived so long? Just about 90 miles off our Florida coast in Cuba. Why has it lasted since 1959? Why do you think? We're going to take a look at that, okay? Maybe we can come up with some answers. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie for you. The top 10 states with the rudest drivers. I think I've been in every one of them. But we're going to find out officially what they are. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For my money, it is the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. They are located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Great haircut at a great price. Call first for your appointment at 727-733-3773. Lest we not forget, I hope you were listening before our show came on to Good Morning Clearwater. They are on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, they're the nicest people you will ever meet. So easy to approach. So nice. Let them start off your... Does Paul do the show sober? I think he does. I'm not sure. I have to ask Ed about that later. But Paul and Tracy Allen, wonderful people. Let them start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. All right. So, we're going to talk about this with Andrew a little bit later. But the strangest thing in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, by the way, he is a Republican. He is told the Democrats who fled... the state, the legislators that are Democrats who left to go to Washington, D.C., that when they return, they will be arrested. Arrested. I would love to see that. Abbott appeared on TV last night to defend his bill. It has to do with voting rights, by the way. The legislators, the Dems don't, you know, they are the minority in Texas in the legislature. And if they all leave, there ain't enough votes there to pass this voting rights bill in Texas. That's what it's all about. So they went to Washington. A lot of them went on their own chartered planes, by the way. I wonder who's going to pick up the tab on that. Do these people that do that, they pay their own tab on chartered planes to do this, I wonder? Anyway, the governor of Texas, a Republican, Greg Abbott, defends the bill. He says these guys are going to be arrested as soon as they get into the state again. He said that the Texas House can call for the arrest of these people that flee during session. You can't do it. You're supposed to be there. You get paid for it. First of all, I wouldn't pay them for the time that they were gone when they're doing this. So anyway, once they step back into the state, says Abbott, they will be arrested. They will be brought back to the Capitol, and there will be a public flogging. Well, the last part I added. Wouldn't that be nice? So this is the second time Democrats have done this, by the way, in Texas. Back in the 90s, I think around 93 or 97, they did it. And that time they did it was also about voting rights. And they claim that these new voting rules in Texas will make it harder for people of color and others, as an example, with disabilities, to vote. But there's no way for them to stop the measure from passing. Just a matter of time, apparently. Anyway, interesting. Now, south of us here in Florida is a little island country called Cuba. The government there has stepped up its crackdown against demonstrators. You know, I've wondered why all of these years there hasn't been an overthrow of that country's communist dictatorship. With all of the pressure and all the Cubans that we have here in this country that hate communism. Ed, do you want to say something?
I just think what's going on down there is disgusting, and it's embarrassing. These people call that a protest. I mean, where are the businesses that are being looted? Where are the cars that are being turned over and set on fire? And everybody knows a good protest is always at night, not during the day.
I know.
I mean, BLM has got to be going crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
they don't like these tactics.
They got to send a handbook down there.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. No, this is in
And they're carrying American flags that are not on fire.
I tell you what, they yearn for freedom there. They really yearn for freedom there. So, of course, the communist government has stepped up its crackdown. A little later, we're going to talk about why is it over all of these years. There's an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal about it. I was reading about it. And I really find it very intriguing why we haven't been able to overthrow, why Castro stayed in all those years. I mean, he took power in 1959.
Right.
You know? By the way, did you know there's no cars older than those 1950s?
Oh, I know. It's like stepping into a 50s movie down there.
I know. I'm thinking that if they kept them up in decent shape, they could make a lot of money, these
guys.
Where
do they get parts for them?
That's a good point. I think they must get them through, you think maybe Mexico or Russia?
China,
exactly. Yeah, probably right. That's where they do get these parts.
Doesn't China have a lot of offshore drilling down there going on?
They probably do. Yeah. You mean around Cuba?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that we would allow that. I think even though Cuba is allowed to do what it wants to do, I don't think the United States would take kindly to China having ships floating around in the Caribbean or wherever you want to call that area off Cuba and doing it. I don't think so. Remember, in 1962, we had a little set too with Nikita Khrushchev.
I didn't get to see that person. I was still in the womb.
Yeah, and that was a scary moment.
Mm.
I was like in grade school or high school, freshman. Yeah. Anyway, it was a scary moment.
Our kids didn't do their homework because they didn't think there'd be school the next
day.
Yeah,
there was a lot of scary. We went to bed worrying that we'd be in a nuclear war.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cuba has played a large part in the political, I guess you could say, history of the United States since the late 50s. Anyway, enough about that. We'll talk more about Cuba a little bit later. We're going to take our break, though. When we come back, you know, Biden's got all these executive orders going. One of them is about business competition. We're going to talk with Jessica Malugan on how that may affect technology and the internet.
Only the lonely. Only the lonely.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we're delighted to have back Jessica Malugan of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where she is the director for CEI's Center for Technology and Innovation. And we're going to talk with Jessica about this competition executive order that Joe Biden has issued, supposedly to help business competition. And the question is whether or not any of that is going to affect the internet or technology, and if it does affect it, will it be good or bad? Jessica, welcome back. Very interesting topic that we're going to talk about here. First of all, the intent, in your opinion, of Joe Biden with his executive order on business competition.
Well, I think, you know, the very big picture view here is that this is a hugely broad executive order, and what it represents, if everything that's suggested in it is put into practice, it's just an enormous expansion of the regulatory state into many different businesses, many different industries, probably every consumer's life. But like you said, an emphasis on the tech stuff is something sort of new.
Yeah. I mean, the ironic thing is when the government gets involved in supposedly helping competition, it does exactly the opposite. It stifles competition.
Right.
You know, that's exactly what it does. If we would allow, like we have, I think, with the internet as an example, allow it to be the Wild West frontier that it's been, you know, we've developed. I mean, if you go back just a couple of years, you wouldn't recognize, because we've come up so far, the innovations and all of these things, warp speed, you know. So
yeah, I think that's why the tech stuff is so interesting, because really what we've seen is a for the most part, sort of light touch, hands-off approach in terms of regulation. And what we've experienced because of that, at least in part, is, like you were saying, so much innovation,
yeah,
so much benefit for consumers. And, you know, it is one of those economic frontiers. It's not lawless, but it is a lighter touch than a lot of more traditionally and heavy regulated industries, and consumers have benefited from that, as have investors.
Exactly. Now there's this thing that scares me every time I think of it or say it, net neutrality. Here we go with trying to regulate content, how much comes through, who should be allowed this and who should be allowed that. And we're going to allow some people in Washington to set rules net neutrality. Tell us a little bit about that, and whether or not this so-called executive order on competition, is that going to start digging into net neutrality and unearthing that thing again?
It is back again, I'm afraid to say. It's one of the strange things about this executive order, as not just that it's so broad, which it is, but also it has moments of being strangely specific, and net neutrality is an example of that. Usually what you'd see from the White House to an independent agency like the FCC is a suggestion to look into the issue. But this goes further than that and says we would like you to reinstate net neutrality. So what's also remarkable about that is that, you know, we've tried that experiment and we know the results. So in 2017, 2018, we got rid of those net neutrality regulations over the objections of many who told us the internet was going to implode. Of course, it did not. In fact, we have home broadband, I think, is up 20%. It's three times faster for a third of the cost per megabyte. And we all know how well our broadband networks held up during the pandemic, which was quite a strain. Europe, who has a more utility style, which is similar to net neutrality regulations, they had to throttle some of their data to compensate for all the extra use on their network. We didn't have to do that in the U.S. because private investment has been so successful. Once we got rid of those net neutrality regulations, everything kind of just got better and better. So it seems a strange backward step. We know that a lighter touch works better for consumers. It works better for the broadband network. So it's strange that the Biden administration wants to return to something that didn't work as well. You know, we've kind of already run the experiment two ways, and the proof's in the pudding. So that's definitely a concerning aspect of this executive order.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Jessica Malugan. She is the director of the Competitive Enterprise Institute's Center for Technology and Innovation. We're talking about a White House executive order on competition, allegedly to increase competition in business. But we've all learned, maybe the hard way, that the more the Washington bureaucrats and government gets involved in businesses, it works the other way. They start dropping all kinds of legislation, laws, restricting things, making it unattractive for the expansion of certain business. I mean, Jessica, we're talking about the internet maybe and maybe technology, but you can apply the same law you're talking about to any industry. And when the heavy hand of government gets involved in it with regulation, it scares people away. And in the long run, it stifles innovation in that particular industry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So a good example of that in this is over at another independent agency, the FTC, where the executive order asked them to be more stringent in their merger reviews. And that would cause exactly the kind of unintended consequences you're talking about, right? We don't want to kill the switch of innovation and entrepreneurship in Silicon Valley. We want to make that, you know, we want this to be a bright, shiny, profitable goal for all of those innovators to have, that you too can build your new thing and go out there and get wealthy off of it. And once you start regulating that, you know, that investment is compromised and the motivation declines, and that's not good for consumers. We want to see more and more new, better services, products always coming out. And over-regulating an industry that's as dynamic as this one will be the exact opposite.
I think you're right. I wonder what the moguls, who tend to be somewhat socially liberal, let's be honest, you know, the ones that run Google and Facebook and Twitter, I wonder what they think about Biden's interference with an executive order in technology on competition. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that I can't speak for all of them, but I think that there is this tendency. I describe it as throwing, in their case, throwing sort of diamond-encrusted tacks over their shoulders, right? They've made their fortunes. They've made their mark.
Yeah.
They're very they can afford to comply with a lot of these regulations.
Oh, God.
No problem. And it really, that regulatory structure becomes sort of a competitive advantage for them.
Because they're already there.
The accountants and the lawyers. Yeah. And it becomes a barrier to entry for the next thing that normally would challenge them, displace them, compete with them in the marketplace. Just like you were saying, you know, it's better to let the market solution come forward than it is to have a bunch of bureaucrats and lawyers in Washington think that they can get in there and meddle with it, when really that's, you know, I'm only skeptical because it's never worked.
That's exactly why you should be skeptical. And you're right, that's a good point. They don't want the competition. They're already in the door. Close the door behind me, please. You know,
that's human nature to an extent, but it's something we have to be aware of when we look at their reaction to these proposals.
Yeah. So maybe this is a little bit off subject, but, you know, we've got all of this censorship concern. on these platforms like Google and Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, certain people getting banned, i.e. the president. Then he's trying to establish apparently another platform or go to another platform, whatever. I don't know. I wonder if the Biden administration wants open competition there, too, or do they go along with, you know, I mean, it's a very touchy thing because these are private companies. But we get into this free speech issue, and then you wonder, now should the government or the courts get involved, you know?
Well, it is very, it's a very complicated issue because, like you said, these platforms are private companies, and, you know, the courts have sort of said up until this point, no matter how big you get or how public-facing you are, that doesn't transform you into the government. Because as private companies, these platforms actually have First Amendment rights to not carry speech they don't want to. Not to say that there haven't been some pretty amazing decisions they've made about their content moderation, which I would personally probably not agree with.
Right, right.
But in the long term, you know, I do think it's really important for everyone on the right to remember that we want property rights to continue to be extended into digital formats. You know, when we talk about making property rights important when things are ones and zeros and when things are long and skinny like cable wires. And, you know, that's a core conservative belief. So you have to keep that in mind and hope that, again, the market will come along and provide some solutions to, I think, frustration that's very real from the right and very frustrating for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. Allowing the open competition allows the other groups to come in and say, look, come on over here with your opinions. We're glad to have you. As long as the government plays fair and allows them to stay just as much as they allow, you know, say, Twitter or Facebook to stay.
Exactly right.
I just wonder if this is really going to go anywhere, this executive order on competition. I mean, first of all, I question the motives of what is really behind this, because we know that since he walked in the door of the White House, Biden has started imposing regulations. So he's not big on competition. Let's be honest. I don't think he is. He's not big on competition.
I mean, this is
what is this thing? Is this a ruse?
I think that it's, I think, you know, what competition, what does that mean? For a long time in the U.S., what that has meant was that can you find consumer harm? Are consumers being harmed? Then there's not, if not, there's probably healthy competition. The market is working as it should. But with this executive order and with the new chair of the FTC and with a lot of the Democrat antitrust bills on the House, we see a shift away from that consumer harm standard to antitrust being concerned with many more vague and hard to quantify issues like equity and the concern with workers or marginalized communities or democracy. You know, those are very open-ended problems, and that is much more difficult to address those with the antitrust laws. But that's a big shift you see, and the executive order is a lot about that. This is a big regulatory expansion, and part of that means that they want to start prioritizing other things other than competition in terms of consumer welfare. And I think consumers should be concerned about that shift.
Yeah, beware of, what is the old promo? Beware of somebody bearing, Greeks bearing gifts. That, and I think this is kind of what that is like. You don't really know what's really behind the package, you know, when you do something like that. I just always question the motives. And even if they had good motives, I don't want...
Well, that's the thing. They can still have the best intentions.
They'll still screw it up.
Just sort of, yeah. Well, and we kind of, I mean, listen, the market just works better than top-down bureaucracy. It just does. It's true.
When will we ever learn that? You know?
I don't know.
When will we ever learn that? It works in any industry that way.
Yeah. It's just there aren't any exceptions. So I don't know why we have to keep relearning it, but that's where we are right now. And we'll sort of, you know, elections have consequences, and we're going to see some of those consequences be borne out in the next couple of years here.
Jessica, it is always a pleasure to have you on. You're always filled with knowledge that we appreciate. Thank you so very much.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Jessica Malugan, Competitive Enterprise Institute. You know, we need people like that watching out for us, when the government starts doing these kind of little tricky things, you know, like this Joe Biden really wanting competition, I wonder. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, not only are we going to talk a little bit about this crackdown on Cuba protest, we're going to talk a little bit about Chick-fil-A. There's a bunch of Chick-fil-A's that are supposed to be set up along the rest stops in New York, and a bunch of Democrats don't want them put up. We'll talk about that.
So mine was breaking. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. 'Cause like a princess she was laying there, moonlight dancing off her hair. She woke up and took me by the hand. She's gonna love me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. By the way, Freedom Works, we come to you Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great and powerful Tantalk Radio Network. But if you are not able to listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our brand new website. And you can click on the podcast button, and you can listen to any of our shows recently. Any old time you want. Hey, you can get up in the middle of the night if you got sleep apnea. And you can go and listen to our show. That'll put you to sleep. You'll sleep like a baby. But anyway, it's OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so we were talking about how all these Democratic legislators in Texas are fleeing. And they're jumping on their private planes. They're going to Washington, D.C. I don't know why the hell they're going to Washington, D.C. Did you know that D.C. marked a grim milestone over the weekend? It recorded 100 deaths that have accumulated there up to July 10th. That is the earliest the city has ever gotten to the magic 100 number in 18 years. So it isn't just in a couple of cities where all of this is going on. The D.C. Police Union says the average date you get to 100 is late October. And here we are, you know, and still the first part of July. It's kind of scary, yet they're showing up there. We got the master barber with us, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, I don't think we have that issue here in Florida. Of course, we have a domination of both houses with Republicans. But Texas has got a Republican majority as well, but they can't get any business done. These guys are going to D.C. They're jumping on their private jets. When they come back, the governor's going to arrest them, throw them in the clink, maybe? I don't know.
He should.
Yeah, I was going to ask your thought on all that.
He should. Paul, that's treason. The people pay these people to work, not run away.
Yeah.
Okay? They want to stop from having a quorum. They take off in their jets. I would arrest him and tar and feather him in the old day. Actually, they would have been shot.
A good tar and feathering. Yeah, I'd like to see how that worked, by the way, because I guess they really did that.
Yeah, they did. No question about it.
Yeah. That must be... I wonder how long it takes to get that gook off of you. Anyway, I want to bring up another topic with you. And it has to do with Chick-fil-A. You know, we got a bunch of Chick-fil-A's down here in Florida. You ever been to those restaurants, by the way? Have you?
I have never been.
Oh, they're good.
I heard they're great, but I've never been.
They're great. They really are. Anyway, Democratic legislators in New York are opposing plans to open Chick-fil-A restaurants at those rest stops in the state, saying that they have been donating to groups that might be opposed to same-sex marriage. Now, the three or four legislators are openly gay that are bringing this this legislation. They sent a letter denouncing the plan of allowing Chick-fil-A to be on these rest stops. It says here, let's see. It's on State Thruway Authority. This is one of these legislators. State Thruway Authority property, and they're leasing it, so it's in essence the state saying, we're going to allow you to here the opportunity for you to earn millions and millions of dollars, even though we know what the history is of your political contribution. What the heck are they talking about? If they started doing that with every single business that wanted to open up...
Communism, Paul.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I mean...
They need to stop this. Paul, listen. We're on a teeter-totter right now. This country's in turmoil, okay?
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Look at what's going on in Cuba right now.
Right.
They got the internet shut off, and people can't communicate.
Right.
You know who shut off their internet, Paul?
Was it George Soros? I don't know who was it.
No, China actually built an interference device.
Oh, they did?
For these people, and they actually operated for Cuba.
Wow. So they got an interference thing going. You can't even get on the internet because of China.
That's why supposedly Trump was trying to get set up so they could have satellite internet.
I see.
However, they don't. Theirs is all wire.
Wow. No, I did not know that.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk a little bit later, by the way, speaking about that, on why it's taken, why communism has lasted, you know, in Cuba.
I can tell you why. The people don't have any guns.
Well, that's a good part of it, I would think. You're right.
They don't have any guns. Let me tell you something. If people in Cuba had guns, Castro would be dead.
That was one of the things Castro did, was they went around literally taking guns out of the hands of people, didn't they?
Right.
That's a good point.
People were stupid to give it to them.
Yeah, and that goes back to why in the heck did Cuba allow it? Well, you know why. Because Batista, who was the guy before... Castro, and was quite frankly more friendly to people in the United States, but they had become disenchanted with Batista. I think it was one of these things like, you know what, anything but Batista. So they went from the frying pan into the fire with Castro.
Hey, while I got you on the phone here,
yeah,
what do you think about Hunter Biden with his paintings, huh? $500,000.
I'm trying to bid on them. I don't have the opportunity to make bid. I mean, he's got some beautiful work. What I thought I would do is I would purchase it, and I'd bring a couple of them over, and you could hang it in your barber shop.
Did you see those paintings? I saw two pictures of him. It looked like he was on crystal meth when he painted them.
I've seen 10-year-olds do better. I mean, this is a joke.
It's a joke, Paul.
Of course it's a joke.
Money laundering.
It's called influence. They want influence. So these people are going to purchase this garbage for millions of dollars. And then they've got a pipeline to, you know, Uncle Joe.
That's right.
It's just like the whole deal with hiring him in the Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to do stuff he had no idea. He couldn't even spell his title.
What do you think about the mysterious assassination of the president of Haiti?
Well, tell me, what do you think?
I heard rumors that he was talking a few days earlier about exposing about the Clintons in Haiti.
Oh.
This is what I heard, rumors. I mean, make of it what you want.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, poof, the guy's killed.
It could be a Clinton hit, huh? Wow, I never thought of that.
I'm not conspiring nothing. I'm just giving you guys clues.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
You know, it was a horrible situation. They gunned him down. I guess it was a whole network of people that were imported onto the island to do the dirty work.
What does that tell you?
It tells me that that it's a conspiracy.
I tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting my own program. I'm starting to write, Paul. It's called CRT.
Oh.
It's not critical race theory.
What is CRT for you?
Critical respect theory.
Yeah, I like
it. Young generations need to learn respect, Paul.
Yes, they do.
Respect whatsoever.
Yes, they do.
Elders for their country for nothing. So I'm designing a program that I'm going to have put in the schools called CRT, Critical Respect Theory. And if we got to beat it into them, we will.
You know what? It would be a heck of a lot better education for them than the other CRT, that is for sure. To have respect for your elders, to have respect for your teachers.
Oh, they have no respect for anything. And the teachers today have no respect for
you know,
anything.
If you have respect for yourself, and I mean you really hold yourself with respect, you will treat other people better because you want the respect from them.
That's right.
Yeah,
well, our generation, it was driven into.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Today,
see an old lady walking across the street in a wheelchair, rolling across the street in her wheelchair with a bag of groceries, and they tell her, push it faster. You can do better than that.
Well, of course, in that particular case, that's personal responsibility. I don't know. That clashes there. No, of course, you're right. You're right. No,
ridiculous.
I know it's ridiculous. I mean, we could talk forever about how we have lost. I mean, maybe it starts when you're even before you go to school. It starts with an inculcation in your family with your parents and having both your parents to help get you to a point where when you get dressed up and you take your first days in first grade or wherever, you're already sort of you've already kind of been prepped, you know.
Well, I had what they called the backhand education.
You did. I had it too. Yeah, I know what
I don't
it was like.
To say anymore, do I?
No, you don't. You don't. And I'll tell you what, it was fear of Dad coming home and Mom telling him what we had done. Oh boy, you don't want to know what I went through. You don't.
I was right there with you. That's what
I tell you what. Well, some of the things that happened to me, they would call a physical abuse these days. But I learned.
Hey, we need to celebrate. I guess today is the first day that the checks are going out for $300 a piece for each kid.
This is a wonderful thing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, this is going to help. You see, what we're trying to do is we're trying to increase the population of our country.
Well, they're trying to decrease it with the shots and increase it with this. You know? They're going to maintain. I don't understand what's going here.
Well, we have to strike a balance. So we kill them off with the virus shots.
We give it to the old ones, and we bring in the...
Well,
I want to see the pregnancy rate, huh?
So, now they're talking about, what is that disease? Guillain-Barré syndrome? Is that what it is that you might get now from taking the Johnson & Johnson shot? There's something that I don't have it in front of me. I've got to be careful. But there is a malady that people are talking about. It is a very infinitesimal number of people that have gotten it after taking the shot. But you can get it. Now, I think you already have to have some sort of, what is it, pre-existing condition in your body to get the syndrome. You know what I mean? But then again, if you're vulnerable and you get the shot, you can suffer.
I got Biden derangement syndrome going on.
I have BDS as well, yeah.
That's right.
I also, from time to time, have Bidenitis, where I forget everything.
It makes my blood pressure go up, makes me shake my head and start yelling at people.
Hey, do you remember, speaking of that, when one time he got so mad at some guy that was talking with him out of the audience and he said, let's do push-ups. Remember that? Where he said, let's get down, let's do, you remember that? I'd give anything if the guy said, let's do it. Because I would just love to see Biden get down and do push-ups.
He's a pathetic fool. I still want to hear people tell, hey, Paul, you know, not to change the subject again.
That's all right.
Heat between Nevada and California yesterday. These people are cooking, buddy.
They are.
I wonder if they started changing their attitude, if the weather might change.
Well, they're blaming climate change on it.
They can blame climate. Well, I can tell you who's controlling their climate change. I told you that last week. These people are getting a taste of hell already.
They're getting their comeuppance religiously. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, it could be. No wonder Portland hit 100. What did they hit, 120 degrees?
That's right.
It was God trying to give them just a little bit of a taste of hellfire?
He's showing them.
I see.
See how stupid they are. Next week it'll go up a couple more degrees.
God.
Well, in Portland it was 120, but it wasn't close enough. Antifa melts at 125.
Oh, shoot. Well, maybe the next time, you know? Antifa will melt right on the sidewalk.
Yeah, all their black gear and stuff.
Well, it'd be a big black puddle of goo.
I'm watching very carefully, Paul, because everything I see going on is all happening in these states that they're living in sin.
Yeah. Why can't they be as holy and sanctimonious as we are? That's what I wonder.
You know, Paul, you know we're doing the right things down here.
Well, I think we're trying, you know.
We're trying. At least we're trying.
We believe in freedom. I know you do. You practice
it. I believe in freedom.
Yeah.
I believe in equal rights. I'm tired of the racism crap.
Right.
Everybody bleeds red.
Exactly. We believe in independence, freedom, and personal responsibility. It kind of sums it up.
American, and they love this country. Get the hell out.
Right.
The best place to go right now is Cuba. Go check it out.
Yeah, it's a nice place. And you can get...
Give them field trips.
And you get to drive in those vintage 1950s and 40s cars. It's a real kick.
That's it.
Hey, Andrew, do you see those lame protesters down there? In Cuba?
No.
Oh, come on.
I saw pictures of them. Thousands.
Yeah, I know, but there's no rioting, there's no looting, there's no free stuff being handed out.
They're too damn nice. They're too damn nice.
Cars are supposed to be on fire, and they didn't get the handbook from BLM that you only protest at night, not during the day.
And like I say, there's nothing to take in Cuba, buddy. Nothing.
And then you don't march around
over the head to steal their shoes to get them.
And you don't march around with the American flag unlit.
That's right.
Yeah, there's probably more American flags flying in Cuba right now among the residents than there might be here.
Amazing. How do these people in these oppressed countries, look at Hong Kong, look at Cuba, how come they're waving the American flag?
That's exactly right.
Is there any way we can swap Cuba?
Because it stands for freedom. Fortunately, it still stands for freedom. I don't know how much longer it'll stand for it.
I think what we need to do is take the Cuban people that are all protesting there and bring them here. And get all the people here that went through socialism and communism and send them
over there.
I was going to say, swap Portland.
One-way ticket.
Swap Portland for Cuba.
That's right.
There you go.
That, for Havana. Yeah, that might work. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. I really appreciate it, as usual, my friend. We will talk with you.
Stop by if you'd like after work. We just came back to work after vacation last week.
Oh, okay. I'll be glad to. Sure. I'll do it.
All right, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk Friday.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes. Hey, by the way, I don't feel that uncomfortable, but I guess our air conditioning is not working in here. Does it feel a little bit like outside in Havana right now, Ed?
It's not that hot. Believe it, it's not that hot.
No, it isn't. That's true. Not bad with the fan in here.
Well, our friends from Best Air Conditioner are on the way.
Best Air.
Yeah.
Thank God for Best Air. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 states with the rudest drivers.
I sometimes wonder why all the flowers had to die.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. So we've been talking a little bit about Cuba and the question of why has communism, which in the long run just creates chaos and sadness and depression, why has it hung on there in a little island just 90 miles away from Florida? Well, many observers expected the Cuban communistic regime to disintegrate in the 90s, you know, when the Soviet Union collapsed. And then they were, like, politically isolated. But Fidel Castro, who was running things, found new sources of revenue. He opened up tourism. In fact, Europeans and Canadians started coming over and dropping their money. Then Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, the dictator over there, he provided energy in exchange for Cuban military assistance. Havana, capital of Cuba, rented out its medical personnel around the world with the government taking the money when the renting was done. So there were ways that they were able, apparently, to continue to get some money. But despite the fact that Castro has always looked down upon capitalism, you know, market forces. So now that he's gone, and his brother Raul is basically gone, we don't even know anymore, do we, who the guy is that runs Cuba? I don't know who it is. I wonder how much longer it's going to last. I mean, nobody that has left Cuba is probably more, what's the word, anti-communist than them. Look at the Cubans in Florida, in South Florida, how they hate Castro and communism. They are more Republican. I mean, they are a guaranteed conservative vote because of their beliefs. Just absolutely guaranteed. All right, before we get to our top 10 rudest drivers, and Ed, I wonder when you're driving if you're rude or not, but we'll find out later. We experienced the pleasure of watching the Tampa Bay Lightning float down the Hillsborough River with the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid that they were going to toss it into the river, but I don't think they did. Did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I did. And no, they did not toss it in the river, but it did get damaged.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they caved in the whole side, half side of the dish on top. You know the bowl that's on the top?
No, I didn't know that they did that.
Yeah. They don't know who did it, how it happened, whatever. But there's a picture online.
About oh, my God.
Well, it's been flown back to Edmonton to get ship shape, and it'll be back before the weekend.
One question I had was, is that the real Stanley Cup?
Because yeah,
they,
it
you
is.
Know, they got doubles.
I know, but I believe it is.
I wouldn't have given it to them to take on a boat.
Well, they all do it. You know, one team.
I would have given them one of the doubles.
One year dropped it in the pool, and it sunk. So they wanted to know if it would float.
And it didn't float.
It did not float. No.
My God.
Well,
well. Know, anyway, I guess that's.
There should be a double if there isn't.
Do you think that the Lightning have a chance to three-peat?
Oh, I don't know. You know, this is going to be a very tough offseason because they got some contracts they got to look through, and you got the expansion draft, which means that they're going to lose a few players.
Yeah.
To that, so.
It's awfully hard. Well, it was awfully hard to repeat, and they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, hats off to them. And maybe we've got the greatest goalie of all time.
That helps.
You know?
And he's only 27 years old.
Yeah, thank God. Well, they'll keep him, won't they?
Oh, under lock and key,
under
I'm sure.
Lock and key.
Put him in the safe.
Yeah, hide him inside the Stanley Cup. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's too big. All right, it's time for our top 10, Ed. This is a good one. These are the top 10 rudest drivers by state. Now, how do we know that they are the rudest? Because Bankrate.com did the analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Bankrate used several studies, including other rankings of the rudest drivers, as well as rankings for the rudest states and the states with the worst drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take all of that data into effect, right? All right.
I already got my horse.
So here we go. Let's see. I didn't number them, but I do know. Okay, yes, it is numbered. All right, here we go. Number 10. Maryland. Now, that's Joe Biden territory.
I've been there. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. Yeah.
Well, they're 10th ranked, I think, because it's a very busy area, first of all. A perfect rude driving score. No, I'm sorry. A perfect score of niceness is 100. But Maryland ranks at 74. All right. Anyway, number 9. Alaska. Now, why would you be rude in Alaska? You got to go 30 miles before you see another car anyway. Right. Why are you rude in Alaska? Are you mad at the sleds that are crossing?
Mad at it's cold, I guess.
And all the moose?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Number 8. Arizona is number 8.
Everybody's hot and sticky.
Hot and bothered.
Yeah.
Their score is 69 out of 100, 100 again being good. All right, let's see. Number 7. We're going to stay out west. The state of Washington. The state of Washington, maybe because of everything that's going on in Seattle, they got rude all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 6. Tennessee. Now, this one surprised me.
Wow,
I would always
really?
Think. Yeah. Do you agree that I always thought Tennesseans were very. Well, apparently they're not. Maybe it's those mountains they got over there, the Smokies or something.
Too much moonshine.
And moonshine. Number 5, New Mexico. Now, there's another state. I don't know. Why would you be rude in New Mexico?
Nothing else to do.
Yeah? It just gets you upset that you have lack of activity, you think? All right. Number 4. Hey, we're staying out west, Ed. Oregon. Now, I can understand how rude they are in Oregon, just watching Portland, and they're tearing apart that city. So that one doesn't surprise me. By the way, their score on rude driving is 63.
Mm.
Okay, the lower the worse. Number 3. Uh-oh, Florida is number 3.
Ooh.
What do you think, Ed? Do you think Florida drivers are rude?
At some point, we get a lot of northerners down here that seem to take up the left lane a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And slow down?
With the left turn signal on.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that makes other people rude, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, I see what you
mean. Get aggravated. Got a place to go? Move.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good point. Number 2. Nevada. Nevada. Yeah. That's another wide open place. Why would you be rude in Nevada? Well, I know why you would be rude.
You lost a bunch of money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You went to Las Vegas and lost your shirt. Now you get back in your car. It's the only thing you still own. You're broke, and you're driving down the road. You want to hit somebody with your car. Very scary situation. Okay, Ed, you will not be surprised that this is number 1. I'll give you that hint, but I want you to guess.
Let's go Jersey.
That's not a bad one.
Probably New York.
It's neither.
Oh.
They didn't make the top 10.
Wow. Everybody left. There's nobody to complain.
It's California.
Mm.
Now, I believe that one. I believe that one. That is the most congested, right? Around especially L.A.
and San Francisco.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I would see why that. They get a score of 29 out of 100.
Ooh, wow.
That's bad news.
It really drops off.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Thank you very much for listening to us. We're going to be back on Friday. By the way, stay tuned for Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Z, right after the news. We will see you Friday, and remember, freedom works.
Flowers every day, I dream about you and I. Some